Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your daily podcast to dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John. And I know you do this to mess with me, but that one was very different.
It was a little bit different. It wasn't very different.
Okay, fine. It was different enough to throw me off guard for a second.
That's very easy.
That's true. I do like consistency. And you don't provide that.
Wow.
Not here, at least. But enough about my own problems. We're here to talk about Leto's problems and Jessica's problems, because
they got plenty.
Yeah. Last week we ended with the conversation about Leto asking Jessica if she would protect Paul if anything were to happen, but not just Jessica as his mother. No, we're talking about the Bene Gesserit protecting Paul. In that moment, you know, we see, you know, and like we talked about, Jessica kind of had her head down moment trying to think. And her response is, why are you having these thoughts? Leto, this is not you.
Yeah.
And his only response in that moment is, I thought we'd have more time.
And what a telling response. I mean,
he knows the end is here.
Yeah. And it confirms some of the things that I've said over the past couple of weeks. You know, Leto knows what's happening. He knows what's at stake, and it's not been a secret at all that he knows these things. But just to hear him say, I thought we'd have more time. It's a heartbreaking statement.
Yeah. You
know, it's tough.
I think that's also, so he's speaking to them on Arrakis, but I think he's also saying, you know, between the two of them,
yeah,
that they would have more time, because he loves her a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad from a movie watcher's perspective, because this is like we talked about, the only time that we see them, or the first time out of two scenes total where we see them actually talking to each other.
Yeah.
I don't know if we see more of them interacting with each other in the books or anything.
Yeah, but yeah, there's plenty of times where they interact in the books.
But it's, you know, that my notes for this section say there's sadness in Leto's eyes. He mm-hmm. knows that this is the end, not only for him but for their relationship. And aside from a hand on Jessica's neck, this is the only moment that we've seen between the two of them of any love and tenderness.
Yeah.
Also, it's a shame, because just seeing Oscar Isaac and Rebecca Ferguson acting together,
two
beautiful
powerhouses.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Love it. I hope in other movies we get to see them working together in the future as well, because they're both fantastic actors.
That'd be great. That'd be wonderful.
We then, you know, cut to the Matador statue that we saw at the start of the movie.
With its polished horn.
Well, polished horn in the top of the man's head.
Yeah, the Duke's head. Yeah.
And Paul's just doing that. He almost looks like a little kid here, where he's got like his head on both of his hands, and he's got
he's still a teenager. He's what, 15, something here?
Kind of looking pensively at this.
I said sullenly in my notes, but yeah.
Yeah, sullen is a good word. I mean, what other emotion are you supposed to feel after just tripping balls in the desert?
He's having his come down. There's no dopamine left in his body.
What a day he had. All right. So let's think about this, right? So he woke up. Well, he had the council meeting with his dad and everyone else. Then they went outside to look at the broken down spice compactors, or the spice
silos.
Containers, the silos. That's the word. Then Duncan Idaho shows up. He gets to, you know, chill with Duncan for a little bit. Maybe this isn't all one day.
I was about to say, so I think this takes the
at the very least, wakes up, meets Dr. Kynes, goes out on the Ornithopter, trips balls in the desert trying to save people from the Walker, sees Shai Hulud consume the Walker, and then comes home, gets checked out by UA.
Well, let's put checked out in quotes.
Sure. tells his mom that he knows she's pregnant. and now we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a heck of a day.
It's been a day. So
I think, so we get the scene with Duncan Idaho in the barracks.
Yeah.
I think that's a delimiter for a day.
Like maybe.
That, yeah. That's like a nighttime hang kind of thing. So
my God, man, you've gone native.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Regardless though. Yeah. He's had a hell of a day.
Yeah.
No more dopamine in his body. He's tripped it all out.
He's just a sleepy boy.
Yep. So yeah. And then, Yue enters the room.
Dr. Yue Lewis in the news.
We get him back. No greeting or anything. I think he knows the day that Paul's had, and he's just like, I'm going to slip these sleeping pills here in just in case
the
you need
the tiniest
them.
Pill in the world.
Yeah.
And just a shot glass of water.
Because I'm a fan of woodworking, I made a special note to say, that's a cool little bowl like set that he had. I like that a lot.
Dude, I love that. That was really cool.
It was a very simple looking little thing, just a piece of wood with two divots cut into it, but it was still very, very neat. That's all.
Yeah, no, I mean, some props department guy was just like, I can probably, whip this up real quick.
Yeah, he's like, this is an ashtray I just had around my house.
It's cool though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I need to drink more than just a tiny shot of water if I ever take a pill, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps.
Though that one is...
It's a very tiny pill.
Yeah. It's like half the size of my pinky nail.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It's very tiny. Probably packs a big punch, though.
Yep. Yep. Ambien goes hard.
Yeah, right. On the way out, he says, have a good night, Master Paul. And my only note for that line was, liar.
well no, Paul says goodnight to him. Yue doesn't respond.
Did I get that backwards?
Yes.
Ah, dang it. No.
God, do you even watch this movie?
I listen to it.
Yeah. No, Paul says goodnight, Dr. Yue, and Yue just doesn't respond. He just quietly closes the door behind him.
Oh, man, I could have swore it was the other way around. No, I believe you, though.
No.
I believe you. Dang it. All right. Well, yeah, mistakes happen.
And then we cut to a different shot of this fancy ashtray. But there's two pills this time.
Yep.
Only one shot of water.
The same amount of water?
Same amount of water, just for two pills and for two people.
So Yue gave Paul double the amount of water that he needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we hear Jessica say, you need sleep.
Yeah.
We see her kind of sit on the bed and everything, and that's where our minute ends.
I mean, I know I've given you shit for this in the past, but this was a quick minute.
Half the minute was
Paul staring
at the statue.
So, yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's kind of where my notes end as well. I couldn't find any analogies in the book about this particular scene, and the scene where Jessica and Paul talk, as candidly as they did and on our episode on Friday. There are plenty of conversations that happen between Jessica and other characters, through Fear and Yue and even some with Leto that kind of take the place of this.
Yeah.
But again, we're kind of...
Oh, yeah. We don't have any more through Fear in this movie.
No, we don't.
Damn, pour one out.
We didn't even announce it. What was the last scene that he had on the tarmac?
Yeah, with his little parasol.
Yep.
Dang. Damn.
Well, rip in peace, I guess.
Pour one out for the homie.
So again, they're building a lot of like composite scenes and composite characters in the movie, which happens very frequently when you adapt something from a book to film.
Sure. Once again, we got to condense as much as we can.
Yeah, totally get it. Very standard practice. So there's no one-to-one analogy for this scene that I've seen or that I've read. The scenes that matter, they do make it one-to-one or as one-to-one as possible.
Sure.
That's great.
Hey, so, I'll take it.
Yep.
You know,
The only thing that is consistent from the books to this scene here is that Yue does give them the sleeping pills in the book. That is something that definitely happens. At this point in the book, he's definitely giving them sleeping pills.
House Atreides, sponsored by Ambien.
I guess so, man. Yeah, it's a new planet. You haven't gotten quite used to all the creaks and everything.
I mean, but also, why are you giving a 15 or 16 year old sleeping pills? Like,
oh yeah, man.
Yikes.
Maybe it's just like a concentrated melatonin. It's a, you know, 100 mil.
Dude, melatonin fucks my dreams up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time I take it, I can't.
I don't really get into that too much. No. If I can help it, I don't.
If you get fucked up melatonin dreams, you can reach out to us on Instagram, though. We are at the Dune Minute. We're at Dune Minute on Twitter, and we are DuneMinute@gmail.com if you want to send us an email.
That's right.
I don't want to know about your weird fucked up dreams, but
Tell us. That'd be fun. I want to hear them.
Sure, why not? if you ever have a Dune dream, though, I'd be interested to know about that. Either way, that's it for today's episode. But tomorrow we'll be back with more of the Dune Minute podcast.
That's right. Short episode today, but we're gearing up for some action.
It's Monday. We're rolling into the week.
That's right. All right, cool. Yeah, we will be back tomorrow. See y'all later.
See you later.